Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Lots going on in the world of aviation this week. Oil prices dropping significantly, and that's good news for airlines and probably your pocketbook as well with fares. And lots going on at Southwest Airlines as well. Brian Summers is aviation business editor for skiff.com and joins us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles to talk more about some of this. Brian, let's begin with Southwest Airlines. They're talking about their plans moving forward in the wake of these significantly dropping oil prices. What have you found out from Southwest?
Yeah, I spoke last week with Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly here in Los Angeles, and I asked him if lower fuel prices would affect the way the airline plans what it does in 2019. People who aren't following this may be a little bit confused. Fuel prices went up big time in the summer and fall, but in the last few weeks, they've fallen almost to below the level that they were before. So now airlines are looking at 2019, and they're saying, you know, we cut all of these flights thinking that fuel was going to be more expensive and we'd have to reduce capacity. What do we do for next year? And Southwest's CEO told me, he said, look, you know, we've already planned for 2019. A lot of our new capacity is going to go to Hawaii. That will probably stay the case. Southwest is going to stay the course. It's really hard to be an airline executive, Steve, because with a lot of stuff for your business, right, you know how much you're going to pay your pilots and your flight attendants because you have union contracts and everything. But you have this huge expense. And as much as Southwest and other airlines pay people to try to guess what fuel is going to be in the future, they just can't do it. So lots of airlines, not just Southwest, were planning for higher fuel prices next year. And even though fuel has fallen, there's just not that much they can do. Maybe in the future, maybe into 2020 or even late 2019, they can add back some flights. But in the short term, it's going to be status quo.
So, but the price swing here is pretty significant. They were planning for $100 a barrel oil, and it's $50 now. That's a big, I can see why that would be a headache for a CEO to plan for.
Yeah, they weren't so much planning for $100 fuel. What they were doing was they were prepared for it. So the price of a barrel of oil reached about $75 in early October, and nobody knew which way it was going to go. It turns out that it's actually gone back to closer to 50 rather than 100. But basically what he said is we were prepared for $100 fuel. We're going to get 50. Guess what? We're going to be more prosperous. That was his word at $50. I think prosperous is a fancy way for saying profitable, and Wall Street will probably like that, but you never know.
You mentioned the Hawaii plans. They're moving full steam ahead with that. Can you tell us anything more about what we should expect?
Yeah, Southwest is definitely ready to fly to Hawaii, at least business-wise. They had said for a long time that they were going to start flying from the West Coast to Hawaii as soon as later this year. It's almost mid-December now, so I think we all know Southwest is not going to start flying in 2018. 2019 looks pretty good. One of the problems here, Steve, is that this is a long flight over water. Southwest doesn't fly any of those right now. And airlines, not just Southwest, they need special permission, actually, from the FAA to fly these routes. Southwest has to prove that it can do it. It hasn't gotten that permission yet. It's taking a little bit longer than I think people had expected. The CEO told me that it's nothing unusual, but we may not see Southwest fly to Hawaii until the second or third quarter next year.
Speaking of Hawaiian Airlines, and what a segue this is, they've issued a warning about fourth quarter revenue. What's going on at Hawaiian Airlines?
Yeah, this was a bit of a surprise. Most airlines are reporting really good fourth quarter financial metrics. They say demand is great, fares are high. It's a good time to be in the airline industry. Not so much at Hawaiian Airlines. Of course, they have this niche of only flying to Hawaii. And lots of other airlines in, say, the past 3 years have discovered that Hawaii is a really good market. And when that happens, more capacity comes in. And guess what happens, Steve? Fares fall. This is wonderful for consumers. In fact, my family and I, we went to Hawaii a couple weeks ago And we paid $199 one way to fly from Los Angeles to Maui 10, 15, 20 years ago. Heck, 3 years ago, that was impossible. And, you know, again, great for consumers, just not great for the airline. And Hawaiian is, I mean, they're in good shape. They're a well-run airline. They're historically profitable. But in the short term, things could be a little bit rough for them, especially since there's all this capacity already in the market. And then Southwest is coming in. One thing that Hawaiian can do is they can pivot away from the United States. I'm not sure people know this, but Hawaiian flies a lot to Asia. They fly to Australia. I think they fly to New Zealand. And so, you know, unlike Southwest, which is going to focus on mainland U.S. to Hawaii, Hawaiian can make a little bit more of a pivot and have some more exposure to markets outside of the United States.
On the another segue, good segue with Japan. There's an opinion piece in the Japan Times about pilots and alcohol and drinking before they get on flights, and this had to do with a Japanese airline, Japan Airways flight. I think a pilot who was drunk, perhaps. Is this a big problem for pilots and drinking on airlines?
Yeah, this was a crazy story, Steve. As you mentioned, back in October, which wasn't that long ago, a Japan Airlines pilot was arrested at London Heathrow. I guess he told the airline and investigators that he had had two bottles of wine and five cans of beer, basically in a 24-hour period, and he was caught. The interesting thing is that the British authorities are harsher on this than most other countries. They actually sentenced him to 10 months in prison, which is a lot. Now, you ask if this is a problem. This is probably mostly an isolated incident. I think a lot of pilots, all pilots pretty much, take the job very seriously. People aren't drinking on the job. But of course, you're going to have some bad apples here. And one interesting thing about Japan, and I only learned this recently after this story, is that airlines and governments have rules for how much pilots can drink and what the legal limit is and everything like that. And I understand that Japan Airlines had very lenient rules, and the government of Japan basically had no rules for how much pilots could drink. It looks like the airline itself has tightened up its rules, and this article that you're referencing is asking the government to tighten the rules as well. Here in the United States, our blood alcohol content limit is 0.04. People may know it's generally 0.08 for a car. And then pilots usually cannot have a drop of alcohol at least 8 hours before the flight. They call it 8 hours bottle to throttle. There are also many airlines that have harsher rules for that, sometimes as much as 12 hours. So no, Steve, I don't think that this is a huge problem, but certainly when it does occur, it's horrible, and it's hard to believe that in this case the pilot got as far as he did. I mean, he was pretty much ready to fly back to Japan without being caught.
Do the flight crews just get to police themselves, or is there a test that pilots take before they get on the plane? I know there was a test at this in this case, in the story we're talking about, prior to the part of the pilot taking off, perhaps. What's the rule here?
Yeah, Steve, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I know that most airlines have random testing for this sort of thing, and they do catch people on occasion. Certainly, that's not what we like to see, but it happens. And then, you know, you would hope that airline crews are made up of multiple people, and that you know, somebody might turn his colleagues in if it was necessary.
All right, Brian, great conversation as always. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Brian Summers is aviation business editor for Skift.com, and you can follow along at Skift on Twitter, and make sure you follow Brian as well at Brian Summers on Twitter.